You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, Moan, what's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. What's going on? Happy hump day.
It is that.
Yeah.
I have no sense of timing for when to do that intro.
I think that's the best part of it, man. By the way, we ended up getting the nickname for the show and everything, man. DK, you missed it.
What's that mean?
I like to jump in on YouTube every once in a while. They're giving out nicknames and everything, man. They're trying to figure out, what do we call this group that we are right now? Somebody said Foster's Kids. Let me see where it was, DK.
Ooh, Foster's Kids.
I know, Foster Kids, like
Foster
that.
Foster has kids.
I do. Only caveat is this, though, DK. Can I file them on my taxes? That's the only thing.
Oh, no. Wow. Well, what's up, guys, since Donald asks is the last time we did a show, I was somewhere in northern Ohio. Then I went to Detroit to do a hockey game. And then today I came down here to Cincinnati, where the Pirates are opening their season, their 142nd season tomorrow against the Reds. And look who was waiting here.
Yeah.
Hendersonville, Tennessee, down there.
Oh,
I
yeah.
like it. What's going on there, Moan?
Not much, man. I wanted to just bring something to Ramoniex. Ah, I like that one. I wanted to bring something to the table since we had this conversation yesterday a little bit. I'm sure you saw it, though, but there was an article in The Athletic about Omar being aggressive, man, pretty much saying willing to trade up in the first round of the draft, and he kind of broke it down by saying this. I'm very excited to have so many draft picks. This year has a whole lot of talent. I don't know what that talent is, DK. Is it generational or is it core pieces that you need to kind of fill a team up? But he did make this statement right here. I'm still going to find it exactly because I don't want to misquote it because it is kind of exciting, man. This to me was the most exciting thing. And I think you remember yesterday I said this. I said, Omar's a savage. You start talking to him and get his competitive juices going, you'll figure out you have a Yenzer inside of that front office, even though he was born in New Orleans. He said this, and I think it's very unique because I didn't realize this is what GMs did when it comes to this time of the year, DK. But he said, we will be working hard to try to identify other teams' needs and trying to figure out what they are doing. It is our advantage to do that. We will be paying attention. And then goes on even deeper to say this. This is a really good draft, and I'm fortunate this is my first draft. I love the idea. This is the part of having a lot of picks, but all options are on the table. If there is an opportunity to trade up to get a player, an impact player that can help us right away or be a longtime Steeler, we are going to evaluate it. I like that. Like that, TK.
Now, you know the competitive side of me too, right?
Yeah, I love that. Come on with it.
Okay, Omar said that to everybody.
I know. Okay. I know.
And the article is also available on DK Pittsburgh Sports. I can't let that one go. I can't let that one go. He had to bring in a lesser outlet and
that's fair.
And totally throw me off here.
That's fair.
I loved the statement.
Did you?
That Omar made. I actually liked a whole lot of his general session that he had with the Pittsburgh reporters in Phoenix.
Wow.
I'll tell you the main reason why. He began distinguishing himself from Kevin, but in a completely non, I'm not going to say this, completely respectful way. He said, and I loved this.
Okay.
This is my first year as GM, and I'm really lucky to have this great draft class. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about that for a second, it sounds like a really innocuous statement, right?
Right, right.
However, what he's really saying is, this is a really great draft class, and my first year as GM, and I don't have any excuses to blow it.
You like that, huh?
Think about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's saying that I don't have room for error here. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of talent here, and I'm not going to miss.
Yeah.
Okay. We as a team, him and Andy Weidel and the scouting staff and Mike Tomlin, Weidel. They are not going to miss. And I like that, you know, that's almost like that huddle mentality that everybody get around Shazier and again, you know, Who Day or whatever else they're yelling in there. Oh, we ride. Okay. That's the whole,
ha.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
But I like that. You know, I think that's aggressive. And it's a little bit new.
But DK, this is the thing too. And I think you and I both appreciate, and I hope Steeler Nation does. It's a separator from what Kev has done, but it's not to the point to where this guy's coming in trying to be Conor McGregor. He's not coming in trying to be Floyd Mayweather. He's not coming in just talking to air about nothingness. Like when he said that, I looked, I was like, dang, Omar, I just bragged on you being a savage, but I didn't realize you were going to say and do these types of things. I think that puts this organization in a good space. I'll be honest, watching how Kev operated He operated like he, yes, Lyle, he has. He operated like the mob boss that sat in the back of the Italian restaurant that nobody saw, but everybody knew that was there. Like Kev had to come kiss the ring and all that type of approach to him. Omar's is like, nah, we here. Y'all see us and come be a part of this if you want to. I love that.
Dr. Shadow, these guys are all getting on my nerves today. Says you'll all be on a network soon. What are we on now, man? It's the DKPS Podcasting Network. This... You know, one more insult, everybody, and I'm out. I'll just go cover baseball.
Come on, man. I know it's the opening day tomorrow, but don't do us like this, DK. You better than this, man. Don't leave us hanging.
Paulie says, hey, Moan, is it me or Omar is straight talking to the point? No BS, and Coach T is the type that talks around, and you have to read between the lines when it comes to reporters and the public.
You know what Omar's conversation is like? Keep that one up for a second just so I can get to the second part of it.
Yeah,
Omar straight talk. Omar's been waiting on his opportunity. He had opportunities at other places. I think everybody know he interviewed for the GM job in Seattle. I remember New Orleans being a part of that conversation also. And I'm sure other places that weren't publicly, that weren't public to us. And I think he's just letting everybody know, I'm here to do a job. You may see Omar go back into the shadows when it comes down to being up front like this. But all in all, he didn't say a whole lot. He just told you what the plans are. And I'd almost look at that and say almost everybody should have that same type of mindset when it comes down to get done. You know what I'm saying? As far as doing your job for a franchise like Pittsburgh. Coach T talking around stuff. I told you guys yesterday if you was tuning in to us, which you can go play that again too, on YouTube or anywhere else, but Coach T gives you answers. It's just not the direct answers that you're looking for when it comes down to how he operates within his team, man. That's what kind of gets me with how you got to listen to what Coach Tomlin says. It's not a bunch of fluff, you know?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah, I'm of the belief that Mike Tomlin's dealings with reporters are actually very, very straightforward. So I didn't really understand the nature of the question. I think they can make some people a little bit uncomfortable with how straightforward they are. And I'm not talking about the reporters. I'm talking about people who watch, you know, watch the press conferences on TV or on video or whatever. But I have found him to be unbelievably straightforward. Now, is he going to talk at a different level sometimes than what people are comfortable with? Maybe that's what you're referring to here. He is an orator.
Yeah, no, 100%, man. I appreciate it, though, because at least we know the stability aspect of what Pittsburgh is going to stay the same. I'm okay with that, man. I think this fan base should be, too.
Zuhair comes in with this. Hey, Moan and DK from Saudi Arabia. I won't say that Coach T inherited Bill Cowher's players good, because that's ridiculous. But I will say that he inherited great assistant coaches. Yes.
Yeah.
Very true and very fair. And that had a lot to do with his early success. Your thoughts? Look, if all you want to do is bring up Dick LeBeau, you win the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. If I inherited Dick LeBeau, I could at least survive as a head coach for 1 year.
I've also hit up one of those Dick LeBeau players secondary. I'll tell you at the end of the show, too, about who we may end up getting if he's able to be home tomorrow, too, from that era. Should be a good one tomorrow, DK, if you're unavailable, if I can lock him down. I'll save that to the end of the show, and maybe he'll hit me back. But what I'll say about inheriting other coaches or the players, too, the job still has to be done. Still have to be able to put those right people, cut the right folks, take them out and manage it correctly. A head coach, y'all, too, is probably more known as being a really good manager of people and a team rather than an actual coach. Not saying that you don't coach, but DK, I'm going to let you take it from here. But the idea of management is far bigger for a head coach than it actually is coaching.
What's management, though?
Management?
What is it?
Making sure that all your coaches are on the same page. They're executing the exact same game plan. Players are being developed. If somebody deserves to be played, then they'll do that. Like, that's the management of it to me, the exact same page of understanding for one purpose, and that's winning the Super Bowl.
And I'm going to ask you this without a presumed answer. What percentage of a head coach's job in the National Football League is just ensuring – that his team is ready and motivated?
Yes. And I think Bradshaw, okay, a few years back, called him a cheerleader. You remember that?
But he meant it in a derisive way, and a lot of people who are the Tomlin cynics embraced it as such. I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, you think this is a problem? You know? It's insulting. I understand the nature of the insult, okay?
Yeah.
But I also understand that when I dealt through the better part of my life with athletes like you and the countless other people that have gone through that room during his tenure, and they will run through a cement wall for that man, not just on a football field, but in life.
Yeah.
And this is a shortcoming?
There's...
Do you see what I'm saying?
Which one do you want? You want a head coach to get his guys going? Or you want a guy that meddles in everybody else's business where everybody's looking over their shoulder?
That's it. But you also have to have the ability to recognize the difference. If he can pick out Mike Tomlin, head coach, early on in the process, even before you've been acquired, what is the difference between you, Ramon Foster, and this guy over here who might have been some kind of superior athlete or superstar at a scouting combine? What did he notice in you, Ramon Foster, that said you're a Pittsburgh Steeler?
The way he was able to manage my emotions as a player and develop me in my career.
What a concept. And he got 11 bleeping NFL seasons out of you.
And not only just that,
This James. Is where I'm heading here. I'm sorry to be.
Yeah, go ahead. No, let's go. I'm here
topic,
for it.
This topic lights me up, okay?
Yeah, because I know.
I saw what he did with you, and I seen what he'd done with other people by being a manager of people. This is not a shortcoming.
How many times? I'll just give us one because we've seen this guy become even better. Or Mike Hilton. How many times have we seen this dude make play after play from an Ole Miss, an undrafted, hey, little guy is what he used to call Mike Hilton. Or a guy like James Conner. Like, James is a Pittsburgh guy, but to be able to give James that opportunity and us not miss a beat whenever Le'Veon was gone and James still become a Pro Bowl running back like DK, there are so many different facets when it comes down to what his actual role is. Do you want him on the corner? I mean, want him on the field coaching up corners? Probably not. You know what I'm saying? But to know what you want out of your coaches to be relayed to your players, I tell you, did a real good job with Munch with us. Just, hey, you know what, Munch? Do your thing. We're good. And that right there to me, too, is a sign of a really good coach. So that was a great way to phrase that. I forget who it was that asked it. But inheriting players and also being able to manage team or what's a good coach, I think people look at Andy Reid. Well, Andy Reid is a freaking play caller. He's supposed to be in that role. But Andy Reid, if he wasn't a head coach, he'd be a damn good offensive coordinator, too.
Oh, might be the best.
You see what I'm saying? So I think we're judging two different things when it comes down to what a coach is in the NFL specifically.
When we come back on the Ramon Foster Show, a lot more of your Hey Moan entries. Feel free to send them in on YouTube Live and Facebook Live.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I love this subject so much. We could do the whole show on this, but the show partially belongs to the people who are watching and all that other stuff here. William says, hey, Bone, any locker room fights?
I saw that one and smirked at it, man.
Come on.
Can I locker room fights?
Locker room fights.
No, man, because I will say this as part of being a leader of men and stuff like that.
Stop it.
We had on field fights, and some of them would get a little ugly. Everybody saw the Antonio Brown, Ike Taylor fight, right? Mm-hmm. We saw that one. I know y'all reported on it and everything else, too. Locker room. Soon as you walk through those doors, done. Everybody respect that rule. Everybody understands that rule, and nobody crossed it, DK. Why are we going to bring all that in and really mess up the team dynamic? In the spirit of competition, have at it. Do what you got to. If you decide to punch somebody and break your hand while working on the football field, guess what? Unless you're good enough, your butt going to be cut. So why would I allow you to bring that violence inside of my locker room? Like, Coach Tomlin was a big-time stickler about that one.
Yeah, he'll let it happen. He'll let it play out.
Oh, yeah. Field,
not in the locker room. The last thing we saw that was close to that, and bear in mind that we weren't in there for whatever happened between Deontay Johnson and Mitch Trubisky, although both of them really downplayed it. I mean, there was an exchange. Deontay right. wanted the football, blah, blah, blah. Tomlin comes out and picks Kenny to start the second half, and people assumed it had something to do with. No, it didn't. Everyone involved has denied that. Was Arthur Mallette popping off in Buffalo after he felt the team, some guys, specifically Marcus Allen, were giggling a little too much on the sideline when they were getting spanked? And both Cam Hayward and Minkah Fitzpatrick looked over at Mallette and were like, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah.
Enough. And oh boy, did it end.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, it ended. It's not easy keeping Mallette quiet either.
I'm sure.
I say that as someone who loves the guy.
Let me go to this one as we follow up that one. So I just want to put it up there real quick, give it a little breath, and then we'll go from there. It's this one right here. I respect your stance. Not saying he's not a great leader, because he is, but game time, what is that? Game time, terrible management. Give me your definition of overrated, and I can understand the game time management stuff, because that's just a flaw somebody can have, and you got to gradually get better as far as listening. That can be fixed, but give me overrated in this era of everybody looking for a Mike Tomlin type of head coach. Quinn, give you got if you got enough characters, write that one up for me, because that's why I love this DK. We can get direct responses from how everybody do and feel on this show. Let's do that one.
Mm-hmm. We will here. We'll keep an eye out for Quinn's response.
Yeah.
Ben says, I hope these two new guards set Kevin Dotson on fire. Oh, on fire in a good way. Okay.
Yeah.
really tick him off. I think he's got more upside than either. He just needs to be consistent. Hey, Ben, you got two guys right here that are with you. Okay. Yeah. We are not Kevin Dotson bashers. Okay, no. I had some issues with him when he first came along, but man, he's won me over. And I understand the penalties are what they are with him. He needs to improve on that. He knows. But when you're talking about a team that wants to develop an attitude, an offensive attitude, and run the ball with attitude,
yeah.
I'll take the guy who's knocking people 6 yards downfield.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, 100%. Does he have to refine his play? Yes, he does. Should the addition of new players inside that room get to you? Yes, it should. Now, this is the portion of the show. This is the portion of his career, DK, to where you kind of say to yourself, are you going to fold or are you going to stand up? That is one thing about them adding new players year in and year out, is the idea that, look, you're going to be tested. Pressure either burst pipes or make diamonds. Dotson really is at a turning point in his career to make this happen for himself. Everybody feels that pressure at some point. I'm sure, and we may get that answer or at least get some type of answer from him. But when they drafted Mason, like the idea that front office had Mason Rudolph as a first-round selection in their big board room, I'm sure they didn't make Ben feel easy the same way it didn't make me feel easy about them. I can name off the guys. Keith Williams, Chris Scott, David DeCastro, when he came in, everybody feels that pressure at some point in time. So it's a matter of how you manage that and still continue to compete and not let the outside noise get to you.
I really like this question from Justin. He says, I just lost it. Here it is. Having a hard time with that button. Hey, Mo, when you guys break into your groups for meetings, do the tight ends go with the line or with the wide receivers?
They go with their tight ends. Yeah, they go with the tight ends, man. Two separate rooms, two separate roles. Now, I will say this. On Thursdays, specifically when Munch was there and when Surrett had us also, he continued on what Munch did. This is like behind the scenes type stuff right here, y'all. This is very unique stuff. You can't really find this anywhere else. But what would happen on Thursdays, because that was one of the bigger detail install days, the first 25 minutes of the meetings after practice, O-line, running backs, and tight ends would meet together so that we could all understand what the run schemes are going to be before Friday dress rehearsal type of practices, DK. You know what those Fridays were like.
Yeah.
We would get on the same page. Hey, what do you need for us? That was one of the biggest things, I'll be honest with you, that really separated us when it came to Le'Veon's development. He came in a room with us because we were trying to – Munch was there in that era, and we was trying to figure out how we going to block for him. Like, man, we got to figure this thing out. Munch, hey, on Thursdays, running back, tight ends, O-line together. We watching film together. And that really catapulted what he wanted from us. And we had to – hey, Le'Veon, what you want? How you need this? And Munch would be like, hey, if you stick right here just a little bit longer, you're going to be able to get those extra yardage. Like, that's what the Thursdays were for. And – that was the only days we really meet. But mostly everybody go to their own separate rooms.
Now, Tony is a guy who knows how to get his comment on the show here. He says, DK, I'm at Getco right now. What should I get to eat? My own preference is the steak and cheese, which has a little bit of spice to it. It's got a little bit of a jolt to it, the steak does. Yeah. And so does the cheese, the pepper jack cheese.
Love pepper jack.
But I get it in a wrap, so I don't have to deal with all – you know when you get subs and they're just like basically bread sandwiches?
Bread, meat.
This is just meat, cheese, and wrap, and it's just fantastic. You could even get a half, and it fills you up. But you know what? Since Tony's reminding me, Moan.
Yeah, go ahead, do it. Let me hear it. Give me that old jingle, DK.
It's funny that you ask, Moan. At GetGo, quality is at the core of every menu item, including every item that Tony is currently surveying at his local GetGo. Three expert chefs, Moan. Three.
Three of them.
Fine-tune every detail so that every sub, burger, salad, wrap, drink, and app that Tony is currently considering is crafted for crave-ability. Order your favorites the same way that Tony is. Better believe it.
Yeah, yeah. I had to text a buddy of mine real quick just to let him know we were talking good things, man. That's all.
Oh, Quinn is back. You really want to deal with Quinn?
Keep him, man. Everybody needs that uncle, man, that they love to hear. Yeah, I'm here for that.
Quinn is coming at us with great cheerleader. You know what I don't like is when I like to think that this show, because of your presence and your experience and everything on it, would be kind of a cut above like talk radio, where it's just a bunch of people that are just sitting in the studio, most of whom have never done anything. Okay. So when you get stuff like this, Tomlin is a great cheerleader. You're just
wrong with cowards players and all
you're
that
just,
type of stuff.
You're just repeating crap. You're regurgitating crap.
I would say this. Winning in NFL is hard. Ask Andy Reid. Ask Bill Belichick. Sean McVay. What was their record last year? If he's overrated, we won without Ben in certain games. AB being out in certain games. Le'Veon being out in certain games, losing Pounce in certain games. I'm talking about guys for the year, and we didn't lose a beat. Winning that elusive Super Bowl, that Lombardi Trophy, DK, is hard. It's very hard. Why did it take Andy Reid so long? Was he overrated till he won one?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Sean McVay.
That's a great example.
Did he need a super team to win one? Because since that super team, Sean McVay's done nothing. Okay, who's one of those other legendary coaches? Bill Belichick and what the Patriots did, y'all. That's, I don't know if we're going to see that in our lifetime again. In football, in this NFL, I don't know if we're going to see that again. And everything had to merge correctly. It did. It simply did. So what are we judging overrated on when it comes down to what coaches do and don't do?
Mm-hmm. Robert comes with a really difficult question.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
I'm stepping out of this one.
I got this one. Hey, hey. He said, hey, Moan.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, hey, Moany Moan. Okay, I like that. How rampant or not is steroid use in the NFL? Recreational drug use also. Rampant or not steroid use is. Guys get caught. Some guys probably don't. I never really saw it directly in my face when it came down to guys being able to use it. I will say this. There was a couple times either dudes was just very, very strong or they were able to just get by on opposing teams. One guy come to mind for sure, but I can't necessarily pinpoint nobody to say anything like that. Recreational drugs, I'll say this too. It's general population when you come down to it, right, DK? It's legal in some places. We see guys get popped because of it too. I will say this. The separator between pills and marijuana, I think there should be some understanding about one versus the other, okay? Because one technically is okay, and you can be dishing those out in droves, right, DK?
Yes.
You get a prescription, and you get them. But we've also learned that that is very, very toxic to America, to this world, and the use and addiction of them.
You're talking about painkillers.
Painkillers, yes.
Yeah.
Painkillers
versus cannabis. You don't want anyone using OxyContin or any of those painkillers because if they're used for more than two consecutive weeks, they become addictive. They become addictive, then you've got life problems. That is the reason that athletes will kind of quietly but passively but genuinely advocate for, hey, look, if it's a joint, it's a joint. If it's right. If it's whatever anyone wants to call it now, you can go to walk into a store now in Pittsburgh and get cannabis legally.
Yeah. Okay? Are you in Michigan right now?
I am now in Cincinnati. I'm in
Ohio, I thought you were in Michigan. Yeah. Michigan, you can.
Yeah. Yeah. You can do it in Pennsylvania. You walk in and you just say, okay, this is what I want. But now at the same time, you can go chasing Martavis Bryant out of the NFL. over it. You know, I have a problem with that, but because I know that current NFL players, including in Pittsburgh, continue to use, and I have no issue with it whatsoever because it is totally bleeping legal.
Or I've seen guys even at the college level, crash out because they got a week too long supply and they never made it much further than that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's a matter of what you deem right. And I'm not going to tell y'all what's right or wrong in it, but it's general population in every aspect of the world inside NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB locker rooms.
Yep. We got some scabs getting picked here today by the crowd. What is all this, right?
It's good stuff, man. I like it.
Sam Barnwell says, hey, Moan, what's the first pick? Cornerback, offensive tackle, or defensive tackle?
Me personally, I think it's harder to find a really good corner.
Is it a prediction or a preference, though?
My preference would be D-tackle first. I said that time and time again. I said D-tackle, cornerback, middle linebacker.
Same page.
Yeah, but I know how hard it is to find a really good corner. If you got one that fell to you at cornerback, I take him. That's my stance on that one, DK.
Yeah, I want to be able to interview somebody on that first night who comes up to that podium and says, not the podium, but, the press area, the south side. They come like the next
media
day.
Media availability.
Yeah, and to sit there and say, hey, I grew up, valuing the way the Steelers value the defensive line. I want to be that guy. I want to be the next Cam Hayward. I want to see that next generation of D-line and have Cam be right next to this guy on the football field. I'm totally into that.
Yeah, I got one real quick, man. Go ahead. Oh, we are so stuck in our old ways.
We're all after Quinn now. Everybody's like burying Quinn.
Let me get that one. Let's go with this one. Any Troy Polamalu stories? Yes. This one, and I think it's a general one, is you ever seen a guy that have to go to a phone booth and when he puts on his uniform, he's Superman? That's Troy. I couldn't understand how during the week he would just be walking by with the ponytail up, big old sweatsuit, UGG boots on, walking across the practice field. Like, I know this ain't the dude that's making plays on the weekends. You hear me? But he just morphed, okay? Practice field Troy was different, was it not, DK?
Everywhere Troy that wasn't on the football field was different, okay?
But
everywhere.
Soon as those lights come on and that black and gold flash and he pulled that friggin' ponytail out and do that spin, Superman was inside the stadium. That was by far the most fascinating thing I've ever seen from any player, man, is watching him go from Clark Kent to Superman.
I have two different players who I really enjoy watching spliced together highlight reels in NFL history. Troy is one because you won't ever see them for another player. You won't ever see anyone else time the snap. And he starts timing it from like 30 yards back. Okay. You know what I'm talking about? Because there's like 10 of these things. And they've put them all on one track. And you can watch them again and again and again and just go, how? What was he doing? What did he feel? Because that wasn't a count.
No.
That wasn't a read. That wasn't him picking up cadence. That was just some from above, right?
Yeah.
The other one on offense, give me Barry Sanders highlights all day.
I'm with that.
All day long.
I'm with that. That's probably one of my biggest welcome to the NFL moments for Troy was this, or any player, and Troy was the one that introduced me to it. To your point, he creeped down to the line of scrimmage. Ironically, it was here against the Tennessee Titans in Nashville, I think my rookie year. Mm-hmm. He comes down to the line of scrimmage bluffing. At the snap of the ball, I don't know how this Superman goes from one side of the ball to the next side of the ball in the flats to break up a play, y'all.
Yeah.
I don't know if I blinked and missed it or he just flew over there with his cape on. But that was by far one of the best plays I've ever seen in my life to this day was him being on one side of the line and going to the other side to break up a pass in the flats.
And not to keep blathering on about the other types of things, but whenever he would do the sacks, whenever he would get to the quarterback by doing that counting thing or whatever it was that he was doing,
his
tackle was so graceful and so tactful. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like, it wasn't, he would just bring the guy down and then he would roll up into a little ball and yeah. jump up and go, hey, yeah. I did it. And then just go right back to the defensive huddle.
Yeah, he would.
Like, because, it was nothing.
Man, I'm telling you, absolutely amazing to watch.
Matt Hanford says, hey, Moan, if the Steelers do get drawn against the Jags or the Patriots in London, will you be coming over? First round is on Steelers Nation UK.
I love it. I go back to the same bar I went to over there. That actually is on me and my wife's docket to make that trip. If they go, that will be phenomenal.
Didn't go. Keish didn't go, right?
We went over there because we were the ambassadors. But
I know,
we
but
to
I'm,
be able,
okay.
Yeah, she did go, but not for the game. Okay. But we want to be able to take the boys over there too. Yes. So Matt Hanford, abso-friggin-lutely. That would be beautiful, DK.
Yeah, I've taken my family over to London twice just in the last 7 years. We love it, and we're all spoiled now in Pittsburgh because we got a nonstop flight on British Airways.
I got one for you right here, DK.
Go ahead.
We addressed it a little bit, but I think this is fair from Alex Flores. He says, hey, Moan!
He does.
What do you think about Thursday games being flex? My stance, it sucks for you guys. It sucks for the players, too. Player safety. All of that's in the box. I'm telling y'all, y'all throw that out. But this is what I will ask of you too, who are tuning in and listening to us. We appreciate your time, number one. But it's this. When the owners start talking about players being selfish and players wanting this and lock out this and, hey, we need this in the CBA, think about that because now it affects you. This, to me, shows the growth of what the league is asking. They know if they flex more Thursday night games, then that means more money. That means more TV money too. But what does it do to you guys that want to come see it in person? You got to change your flight, see if you can cancel hotels, maybe be able to sell your tickets.
Anybody who doesn't do a whole lot of traveling knows that you need a 21-day advance to get a reasonable fare on a flight, regardless of if it's short or long. 40% of the Steelers' actual season ticket base for Acrisure Stadium, 40% of those people live nowhere near Western Pennsylvania. I'm not talking about like Youngstown or something. I'm talking about in other parts of the country, other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Okay. That's who the Steelers season ticket base. They have to know when these games are going to be played.
Yeah.
Flexing to a Thursday? Come on.
That's Bush League. I hate it for the players and I hate it for the consumers too because it really messes up the flow of preparation and everything else, DK, but at this point, it's just a product, so I hate that.
Yeah, Steeler Girl comes at us with just a hi, guys.
Hey, guys, what up? How you doing?
I'm totally
808, I think it's Hawaii, too.
Yeah, I believe we've heard from her before, and I believe she is coming at us from Hawaii, although she's free to clarify that. Yeah. Rich says, hey, Moan, how would you sum up Tomlin's coaching philosophy? That's pretty broad.
It is broad. His philosophy? I don't care what great ideas come from, just so as much as we win. That's probably about his biggest one. That's when it comes down to like coach management, player management, roster management. I think that's what resonates most in that building. Our game is football. Our business is winning. That's another one of his that always sticks to.
All the time.
All the time.
Comes up a lot. This year was the year in which Tomlin was really tasked, I felt like, for the first time with, hey, should you just kind of look past this stuff and just put some guys out there for developmental purposes? And I would ask him this probably, I did this on 3 or 4 consecutive weeks after a game till finally he got so sick of it that he just goes, listen, he looks at me like this, you know, with a head tilt. Listen, I can promise you that every Sunday I am only thinking about one thing when we go onto that field. Okay, there goes development. But nothing wrong with that here. Ben says, hey, Moan, did you ever have to absorb a James Harrison bull rush in practice?
That was another welcome to the NFL moment. You hear me? I was a tackle on scout team my rookie year for the most part. And let me tell y'all, that little rip around the corner clamp that he does with that forearm, that'll break your soul and shoulder. It is, James is the truth and still is if you follow his Instagram to this day, man. Crazy.
Reggie says he was at that game.
My rookie, I had a bunch of family there. That was a real cool moment for me. And thank y'all for showing up, too. That's one thing I always loved is when I came down here.
DeMond is richly dissatisfied with the volume of likes so far on this show.
Okay.
You know what? I'll tell you what, DeMond, you can either come in and give us some likes on the video, which is welcome and appreciated. You can also subscribe to the channel, which has a more lasting impact. We're grateful for all of that.
Yeah.
To say the least. And it does make a difference. Don't think that it's nothing. It's not a vanity thing. It actually makes a difference in terms of how how many people get to see this. Paul says Thursday games should only follow a bye week and no flex date changes. Crap ideas.
Very much so. I agree with you on that one too. DK, I got one right here, man. This is very fair because we spoke about this considering TE is gone. Hey, Moan, question mark. I love it, Brian. I know that was a mistype. Hey, Moan, is that you? Yeah, that's me. I know I got the haircut and all, but yeah, this is me. Are we improved to cover the tight end? This year we'll see Mark Andrews two-time, Njoku two-times, Higbee, Kittle, Ertz, Darren Waller, and Hunter Henry. We had a little bit of this conversation the other day when we talk about Pat Peterson potentially going to safety too, right? His cover skills is good. Maybe his speed slips. But the cover skills from what you need out of a guy like him could be very huge for us as a franchise. And that's why I also say, too, DK, I'm here for rushing coverage because you get somebody up front that can rush and you also get a corner or you get a corner, then a rusher. Those two things always work hand in hand. It's a handful, but this also may lend you the idea of why it sucks, but why TE wasn't retained. That was a liability of his, was his ability to cover.
We got time for a couple more today. Steelers girl does in fact confirm that she is from Hawaii, so aloha to her. And Mark Shreve says, hey Moan, what do you think of the roughing the passer rule being tabled at the meetings? And for anybody who doesn't know what that means, it's just basically that the call could become reviewable.
Reviewable
plays. There were some brutal calls, man. Brutal roughing the passer flags.
But you know what I've learned? The crews stick together. If one call it, it's hard to ostracize. It's hard to put one in the corner and say, hey, you, it was you that messed up on that flag. And because national broadcast is going to see them, and they always stick together. We've tried this other times. You remember the running back couldn't dip his shoulder to hit a player. Remember that? Like, that's the flaw of the game type of stuff. To me, that's more stoppage in the game if they got to review that. And it's also, I don't think we'll ever get a true answer. I just heard recently of the 88, remember the pass interference calls that they were doing in 2019? Yeah.
Such a bad idea.
Only 13 of them were actually overturned.
That was on purpose. That was on purpose. They were never going to allow that.
They wanted it
to go away. That was a New Orleans whining, threatening lawsuits, it to Louisiana State Court. Get out of here, man.
Table it for what? The quarterback's already protected enough. Heck, if for anything, they need to talk about how they won't call those ticky-tack like head fouls.
Tony is enjoying this rap. Tony followed through.
Yeah.
He got the rap. I like that. I like that,
man.
Corky says, hey, Moan and DK, what are your thoughts on the NFL's cut down day being down to one day?
One day. That's tough because you put everybody in a pool, but it also sucks for the scouts that got to siphon through everything as far as like, okay, he's getting cut. Like, it really can delay the development of those first three practices after the last cut day, DK. So, I get it because a lot of vets don't play, and now that you got 17 games, you need more bodies to get through camp, but it really congests the ending of preseason.
And the last one for the day goes to Brad Richards, who says, do you guys expect Omar, since you opened the show with this today, Moan, do you expect Omar to pull off a huge surprise on draft day? Do you think there was any kind of foreshadowing in that comment?
I think he is more willing to. And I think that also lets everybody else know, if you got something that we want, we're coming to go get it. If that means, and we spoke about this, DK, getting one of those top tier cornerbacks, if you're not okay at saying, man, I don't trust myself at 17 to pick the best available, I'm better around 12 or 9, I'll take it. So I'm here for that, DK. I think Omar being aggressive is a good thing for us. I'm seeing some drops in the comments too, DK. I'm not sure if it's true or if it's just rumors.
What's that?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's rumors.
Well, we're not going to leave until we check, so let's be responsible adults here.
I'm going to just text the guy real quick. I mean, how about that? We can end that right now. Yeah. I'm hearing rumors is what I'm going to say.
Well, he was supposed to come in for his visit. It might have been today.
Yeah.
So we can see what else is here. I'm looking at I think his visit was today, and that's what people are talking about. Maybe they tuned in to see, you know, if something had actually happened, if they were going to find out about it here.
Yeah, I'll just text him, and we'll see what happens from it. As I wait on that, can I get this one real quick, too, from Jeff Ross?
Yeah.
It is, hey, Moan, what advice do you have for incoming classes? They transition from football and classes to football activities as their sole role. Great question. You're paid to play football. Focus on that first. The game is the game, and the game will treat you right. If you respect the game and how you train, if you go out and party, how you recover, what your play on the field would be too. I don't care if you podcast. I don't care if you rap. I don't care whatever you do. You were brought into the NFL to play football. I'm not telling you to shut up and play football. No, diversify yourself on all accounts. But realize, ain't nobody going to buy your albums. Ain't nobody going to tune into your show. Ain't nobody going to buy your merchandise if you don't ball out. That's my advice for this young group, because it is very social media based. It is very it's very based on the idea, but this league is based on the idea of production. That's what I would tell them.
I don't see anything verifying any kind of anything other than that Bud's in town and a lot of people are excited about it. My feeling from the very beginning, and we've been talking about it on this show for weeks, is that if Bud is healthy, Bud is a Steeler.
Probably so.
I just don't think it's going to be all that complicated. We know Omar wants it. We know Mike Tomlin wants it. We know Bud's teammates will want it. All he's got to do is show up with a clean bill.
Yeah, 100%.
You know?
I'm here for that. If we get an answer, I'll let you guys. And I might even tweet it out with the link to the video or something. But he hit me back. Just said it's ironic because it's 348, and that's his number, 48. We'll see.
Oh, boy.
I know. Lay me piecing everything together.
Hey, guys, hit the subscribe button.
Yeah.
You know, like, or I'll send him after you.
And I promise you, we'll still channel that other side, too, okay?
What do you mean, channel? Oh, that's.
Oh, by the way, yeah. Huh. If possible, and everything lines up. So I told you, I'll tell you at the end of the show.
Oh yeah.
If possible,
I don't even know about this.
Yeah, no, I'm breaking it for you. If possible, and he can be at home, I plan on having Brian McFadden on, 2-time Super Bowl champ, that was in that Dick LeBeau defense, that was recently in Pittsburgh. Also, do a lot of stuff for other big networks. And I'm telling y'all, if B-Mac is on this show, his conversation is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to ask him, what was the Dick LeBeau defense? Sure. How did it feel to make that magazine cover? What did it mean to play in Pittsburgh? And also, he got a relative, I think.
I think there's a cousin that's involved now. You might want to ask about that guy, too.
I'll ask about
for anybody
that
who
guy
doesn't
too
know, he is Patrick Peterson's cousin.
Yeah.
And by the way, might have been, maybe, find out possibly a little bit influential.
Yeah, just hit him up and be like, man, we're expecting you tomorrow. See if we put that pressure on B-Mac if he's gonna be home.
No, that's what we should do. Is actually we should promote that he's on the show.
Yeah, be like, hey, I heard you might be going on. So just say hit Mike, because I don't want to put him in a box. He's such a great dude.
I won't be here. I'll be doing Pirates versus Reds, the Pirates openers tomorrow at 4:10 p.m. Eastern time. So Ramon and question mark.
Yeah, Ramon and question mark is what we are tomorrow. So, hey, this was fun. Hey, you guys ask. I say ask, too. Tough, I know some people like, don't say ask. Ask, say ask. No, screw that. You guys ask some really good questions. This crowd is phenomenal, man. I appreciate y'all. Quinn, even you, my brother, I appreciate your stance on that one, man. Really good. As he says, he gives us a compliment. Should be a good interview.
There you go. I'll take it. I like it. All right, well, let's do it again tomorrow in whatever form, the surprise edition of the Ramon Show.
Let's do it.